This is the CompuSports Radio Network.
Hello, everyone. I'm John Anderson, the host of Coach's Corner here on the CompuSports Radio Network. My guest this week is the tight ends coach at that nationally ranked powerhouse, Jenks High School, down there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're going to be talking multiple tight end packages, advantages, disadvantages. We'll be talking all that here on this week's show. And a little background behind Coach Walls and myself. We emailed back and forth for about 8 years or so, and this is going to be our first time talking to each other, albeit on the phone, but this should be pretty fun. Coach Brady Walls on Coach's Corner next. No one can find the love of.
At CompuSportsMedia.com, our job is to make your job easier and make you a more effective coach. Improve your scouting, game planning, and video analysis with Easy Scout XP Plus and the new video scouting edition of Easy Scout Professional. They're powerful, flexible, and affordable. Building better game plans for over 25 years. Stretch your dollars with software for scoring and statistics, practice planning, equipment management, and video editing, all from leading publishers and ready for instant download. Improve your defense with ebooks like the highly acclaimed The Master Defense and The 30 Stack Defense, a comprehensive guide to designing and installing a pressure defense. Turbocharge your offense with ebooks from Jerry Campbell, including his latest, Taking the Option Game to the Next Level, and a classic from one of the fathers of option football, Larry Beckish, The Trap Option 40 plus 60 equals option. All the tools you need, priced right, to make this a winning season from CompuSportsMedia.com.
Love your football? Coach's Corner starts now.
On the phone, my guest this week is somebody who I've communicated back and forth with through email for a number of years, and I finally get a chance to talk to him, but over the phone. I'd like to introduce my guest. He's the tight ends coach at Jenks High School in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but he's currently right now in Evergreen, Colorado, which is outside of Denver. And he also has a company which he's invested in called TMB Athletes out of Denver, Colorado. Please welcome Coach Brady Wall to Coach's Corner. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing pretty well, man. It's a sunshiny day, and we're talking ball. Can't get much better than that.
There you go. Tell us a little bit about your background here.
Well, I guess I got my coaching start here in Colorado. Would have been about 2004. Worked at Denver South and kind of bounced around a few different high schools out here. I've always been on the offensive side of the ball. My dad's been a football coach, so I guess I've been around football pretty much my whole life. So I kind of got my start that way. I was a head coach in Nebraska for a little while, and then also coached at the college level. That's kind of where I got into a lot of the offensive line play and tight end stuff, so it ended up being a pretty productive time I spent at the college level at Augustana College in Sioux Falls. And then from there, went and kind of got my background in strength and conditioning. I was actually a head strength and conditioning guy at my hometown high school in South Dakota, and then got to know Coach Maddox, and now I'm down at nationally ranked Jenks High School, so kind of had a chance to put everything together, run some strength conditioning stuff there, coaching some tight ends, coaching some offensive line, and just loving life, man. It's been fun. It's been quite a ride.
You're one of these guys who just absolutely lives, eats, and breathes football, and I can see from some of your entries up on Facebook that you just enjoy this mad scientist portion of the football world here.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Coach Maddox and I called the office at Jenks High School the laboratory, and we're two single guys. We got a lot of time, I guess, to invest in studying a lot of football. So we're basically in there all the time, watching film, watching NFL games, picking up clips here and there, and seeing where it's going to piece into our offense. And I tell you what, having two guys in there all the time for that amount of time gives us quite an advantage, I would say, over a lot of schools where guys have to go teach and guys have to go do things like that. We're sitting there drinking loads of coffee and then studying football, so huge advantage.
Well, if you're anything like me, once you get past the third pot, you start getting the shakes. And
I think right now I'm basically immune to it right now, so I don't really even feel it anymore. I go into Starbucks and I can order triple espressos and triple shots, and they're just looking at me like, who the heck is this guy? And now it's not even really anything to me, man.
All right, we're going to be talking tight ends, and I have no idea how far this is going to go, but we're just going to sit back and enjoy the ride. Coach Walls, we're going to turn it over to you and go ahead and school me on the position of tight ends here.
Well, I guess, you know, number one, you know, a lot of people, I think the tight end is one of the more misunderstood positions in football. A lot of people kind of just, you know, pass it off as, you know, maybe this is an extra offensive lineman, or maybe this is a guy that, you know, that wasn't good enough to play at another spot. You know, the tight end, if you're studying it and looking a lot at it, it's a huge position, I think, and offenses are starting to figure that out as we'll kind of take a look here at some of the stuff I've gathered. And being able to study all this football, some of the things I've seen as far as advantages for offenses that use a tight end, you know, versus ones that maybe don't use a tight end. You know, number one, you're going to create, you know, more run gaps for a defense to defend. You know, anytime you have two tight ends in the game, there's going to be eight run gaps that they have to defend, so a defense automatically is going to have to commit eight, if not nine, guys to stop the run. So defenses are going to be a lot more limited in what we do. So we see a lot more limited fronts. We see a lot more limited coverage. You know, if they're going to play eight in the box, we're going to see a lot more one-high stuff. It opens up a lot of stuff for us in the pass game. If they want to stay too high, now we're 7-on-7 in the run game. It balances out numbers for us. You know, a lot of times at Jinx, we're not using a mobile QB or a running QB. You know, I think now coming up next year, we may have to a little bit, but it limits everything that we're going to see, and it kind of helps put the balance in the offensive side. You know, you're always talking the numbers game. You know, do we have a man advantage or do we not? Tight ends allow us to do that. The other thing it does, too, is it creates a lot of conflict in force players, you know, whether it's an outside linebacker or a safety, in some instances a corner, if there's enough tight end. You know, it creates a lot of that conflict to where it opens up a lot of things for us in the play-action game. In addition, you know, with this conflict, too, it's also going to give us a mismatch. My tight end, 6'4", 225, if we're lucky, you know, again, blocking a corner in the run game, that's a pretty good advantage for us, we feel, in the run game. A lot of the teams you see nowadays going with the odd fronts, playing a lot, you know, smaller athletic guys, that's great, I think, against spread teams, because that's what it was kind of designed to do. You come out and cover slot receivers, you come bring your blitzes off the edge. But having a bigger guy out there, you know, we're able to neutralize a lot of these outside linebackers. So a lot of our C-gap runs we see against the odd fronts, I should say, have been huge because we're able to create that short edge where we're able to manhandle some of these outside linebackers. And I guess the last thing, you know, I've already talked about the edge pressures. You know, in pass protection, if you're able to keep a tight end in, you know, it allows us to kind of neutralize that edge pressure. And you know, everyone's bringing the zone Americas, the zone pressures. You know, by leaving tight ends in, having dual calls, having checks for those guys, you know, we're seeing a lot less zone pressure at the high school level, and it's able to neutralize a lot of that stuff for us, so it gives us a lot more flexibility. Does that kind of answer any of the questions you're looking at there, John?
So far, so good.
You can just sit here and listen to me just spewing off advantages. We've actually done a little bit of research, you know, just kind of looking recently. When Coach Maddox and I, you know, I keep referring to Coach Maddox, this is Dub Maddox, he's our offensive coordinator at Jinx. When we do our research, most of our research is going to be done from an NFL standpoint, because we feel, and if it's going to work in the NFL, it's going to trickle down and work at other levels. You know, at high school levels, there's so many talent differences. College, you know, guys can recruit people. There's such a talent difference, you know, when they're playing people that I think stats sometimes get skewed because of that talent difference. So we like to look at the NFL because, you know, the whole premise of the NFL, of free agency and salary caps, we're trying to create level competition. So we feel like it's a lot more reliable. So these are the things we look at. But if you look at the top five scoring offenses in the NFL, number one was New England Patriots. Number two, San Diego. Number three was the Philadelphia Eagles. Four was Indianapolis Colts. And then number five was the Atlanta Falcons. And if you look at every one of these offenses, every one of these offenses basically had, you know, a Pro Bowl type tight end in that offense. You know, New England had a kind of a three-headed monster. Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, you know, Algie Crumpler. San Diego, of course, has Antonio Gates. Philadelphia, you know, has had Brent Celek. He's been a Pro Bowl receiver for him. Indianapolis, of course, with Dallas Clark. He goes down with an injury. You know, Jacob Tam steps right in, has, you know, 60-catch, 600-yard season, catches like 5-6 touchdowns. And then, of course, Atlanta has a guy you maybe heard of, Tony Gonzalez.
Maybe in passing,
everyone,
yeah.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Not bad.
But
you look at those top five offenses, you know, and I got a bunch of numbers here, but basically the average, you know, the average tight end production that every one of these offenses had, and I'm just looking at the pass game right now, you know, about 91 catches for 990 some yards and over 10 touchdowns. So to me, that's saying a lot. You're getting a ton of production, especially in the pass game. If you're to go back and look at your top rushing teams, you know, you look at places like Pittsburgh, you know, Atlanta has a heck of a running game with Michael Turner. You know, they're running a lot of two tight end sets, three tight end sets, where these guys are excellent run blockers. You don't see many of the top rushing teams in NFL not using a tight end. So kind of looking at that empirical evidence, you know, it says a lot of, you know, some of the things we're doing at Jinx. You know, hopefully we're on the right track. So there is some evidence there as well. It's not just Coach Wallace saying, hey, I told you so.
We're talking with Coach Brady Walsh, the tight ends coach at Jenks High School in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we will be talking developing the tight end position when we come back here on Coach's Corner on the CompuSports Radio Network.
If you're interested in being a guest on the program, simply email us at john@compusportsradio.com. That's john@compusportsradio.com.
Let me take you to a place in time where the top rolls down. The hippest cats and the coolest chicks play their radios loud.
You're listening to Coach's Corner with John Anderson on the CompuSports Radio Network.
Hey everybody, did you ever stop to think what happened?
My guest today is Coach Brady Walls, the tight end coach out of Jenks High School in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He also has a company which he is a partner in called TMB Athletes. Before we get into developing the tight ends, tell us a little bit about what this company does.
Well, TB Athletes, you know, we're not trying to take away what schools do. A lot of schools have an excellent weight program. A lot of schools have an excellent developmental program. But in order to completely develop a kid, you can't just have the kid, you know, for an hour or 2 hours a day. So what we kind of do is, you know, we become an outsourced program to help complete a lot of the development that kids have. You know, and most people think about, you know, combine events and agility stuff and things like that and personal trainers. And we do some of that thing. But the biggest thing for us is developing a mentality in a kid. We talk to a lot of coaches, and we're trying to basically create, you know, kind of a fighter's mentality for a lot of these kids. We'll take, you know, their 4, 5, you know, 6 team leaders, guys that they can get after it, and we're basically going to talk to these guys about work ethic, you know, how to increase and handle their pain threshold, how to be a leader, then how to be a finisher on the field. So we kind of fill in a lot of the holes of the development of the kid. You know, we do a lot of it through nutrition. You know, see a lot of these kids that they can't put on weight. So we'll talk to them about nutrition. We'll talk to them about supplementation. We'll talk to them about their film. You know, we want to create college-ready kids. And we feel if you're able to play at the college level, you're probably going to be a pretty good player at your high school. So we treat every kid as, you know, we want you to become a college-ready athlete. So looking at their film, we'll not only just tell them, hey, here's some physical things you need to do, but hey, here's some mental things you need to do. You know, don't be flipping your arms up all the time. You know, having a better attitude. Finishing blocks. You know, not just being happy with blocking a kid. If you're an offensive lineman, let's put the guy on the ground. You know, defensively, let's not just be happy with, you know, hanging on and making a tackle. Let's be explosive through the tackle. So we're talking a lot more of the violence and aggression that I think that a lot of coaches can't get away with and can't talk about. Whereas, you know, us being an outsourced group, we can actually bring that mentality to a kid and create that mentality. So it's been a pretty rewarding deal, and we like what we're doing.
You're also working with Coach Ryan Mullaney in this venture.
Absolutely. Yep. Coach Mullaney's actually the one that kind of came up with the whole process and the whole product. And, you know, me being a disciple and a coach with Ryan, he's one of my mentors. You know, I think what we're doing is really untapped, you know, in the high school ranks. You know, we've done numerous studies and talking with coaches and D1 coaches, NAIA coaches. I mean, it doesn't matter what level it is. And the number one thing they say is kids today are lacking a lot of the toughness. That's the first thing they always ask. Hey, what are kids missing? What are you guys trying to recruit? We want tough guys. We want guys that are football players. So there's kind of a deal coming back to this whole thing. We're not so much worried about the athleticism and the speed and all that. That's always going to be there. We're looking for kids that have the mentality to come in and compete, come in and be tough, come in and win position, come in and win and make plays for us. So I think this premise is awesome. You know, and based on this fighter's mentality, I think it's going to be something that a lot of kids, you know, want to have an outlet to do, and hopefully, you know, kids will be coming to us to kind of try to find that outlet and let us help them in their development.
Okay, as promised, I'm going to turn you loose and let you talk about developing the tight end position here. I wanted to get that, give a plug to your company in there in the process.
I appreciate it.
So, Coach Walls, I'm going to turn you loose on this.
So I've kind of talked about the company that we do. You know, when we're developing our tight ends, you know, I get a lot of guys on the road saying, you know, Coach, we just don't have any guys like that. You know, it doesn't need to be the prototype tight end. You know, there's only so many guys out there that are 6'4", 255 pounds, and run 4'5". You know, that's not what you're looking for at the high school level. You're looking for a long, athletic kid, a kid that can run a little bit, but a kid that's got some nastiness to him. We find a lot of kids, you know, as far as backup quarterbacks and bigger wide receivers, if they're maybe not in your top rotation of receivers, they're not fast enough, or whatever it may be at receiver, throw them in at tight end and then start to develop them. We at Jinx, we have a backup quarterback, a kid that moved in. Now he's about 6'3", 225. We had a backup defensive end that wasn't playing, so now he's come over to the offensive side. He's about 6'4", 215. You know, we got a bigger wide receiver that wasn't playing so much. Now he's about 6', 195. So you see, you know, kind of the different shapes and sizes you can do with a tight end. But as long as you're developing that mentality, you know, to where they're gonna be aggressive, they're gonna be able to block on the edge, you know, you're gonna have a pretty good chance of getting that kid on the field. And the other thing is, now you're giving the kid a chance. You know, when the kid sees hope and he sees a chance to get on the field, he's gonna want to get in there and get after that. So we've had a lot of success finding, you know, maybe kind of these diamonds in the rough. And you know, all of our coaches kind of say, hey, maybe you can go play tight end. So it's kind of nice. I get to work with an eclectic group of guys. You know, a lot of these guys have come from a lot of different backgrounds. So, you know, we get some former offensive linemen. Of course, they love that. You get a chance to catch the ball, you know, even if it's, you know, once or twice a game. We get some former fullbacks that maybe aren't as big as they need to be, or as fast or as physical. And that's kind of the fun part for me, is being able to develop these guys from a young age and instilling that mentality, that fighter's mentality.
I know at least in some particular systems, the way they're looking for the particular builds and size and shapes of kids, looking to put them into like a fullback position or a tight end position or a wide receiver position. And there was one particular system I worked in, which was a run and shoot system. They took the second string tight end and made him what they called the super back. So here you've got this huge guy who's sitting back there as a running back, as opposed to maybe not getting on the field so much as a tight end.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you see a lot of that stuff now. I mean, guys are being a lot more creative. Heck, I was watching, you know, a bunch of New Orleans film this year, and they're using, you know, extra offensive linemen as, you know, fullbacks and tight ends and moving those guys around. So it becomes kind of a role for that tweener offensive lineman that's maybe 6'4", 6'5", 280, or 290, but he can move around and he can block people and set the edge and do things like that. You know, we see a lot of our guys will flex them out. You know, maybe he's, you know, 6'3", 220, we can flex them out, put them on corners, let them block on guys. I mean, there's all different kinds of things you can do with these guys and find things for them. You know, our number one tight end this year at Jinx, 6'1", 245, we use him as a fullback most of the time. He's a backup guard for us. You know, we could use him as a swap guy on our power. So there's a lot of different things you can do to mix and match and play to these guys' strengths. You know, it's not like they got to be in there every single play. You know, have those multiple personnel units. Find five or six things that these guys can do to help you win football games. Maybe it's a short yardage play. You know, maybe they can catch a corner out or catch a ball in the flat. You know, find things for these guys to do. They become good at those things. They become special at it. They own it. And all of a sudden, your offense is taking off, and you got about 15 guys playing, you know, skill positions rather than just two guys touching the ball.
We're talking with Coach Brady Walls, the tight ends coach at Jenks High School out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Coach's Corner on the Copy Sports Radio Network. More with Coach Walls after this.
EasyCut from CompuSports is a fast and enjoyable way to edit and analyze your game videos. Watch entire games on your computer, then label and index plays with a click of a mouse. Copy scenes to CD, DVD, or a memory stick, and upload to online video sharing sites like YouTube. Search and sort plays by keywords, then pause, restart, rewind, and even watch frame by frame for fast and detailed video analysis. EasyCut is compatible with XP, Vista, and Windows 7. Download the 21-day free trial now or order on CD and discover how easy it is to start analyzing your game videos today.
Someday I'll take it over and you'll see. I wanted you with me watching over me. So I'll keep this fire.
You are listening to Coach's Corner with John Anderson on the CompuSports Radio Network.
Have you ever known a high like this before? Have you never gotten off like this before? Didn't think we'd ever fly.
We're back with Coach Brady Walls from Jenks High School in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We've been talking tight end play, been talking the tight end position, and he's going to give us a little bit of an overview now. So, Coach, I'm leaving it again, once again, to you.
All right, thanks, John. This next segment here, I guess, just kind of want to talk about, you know, our base philosophy at Jenks. You know, I know there's a lot of people out there listening. You know, if they're spread guys or they're double wing guys, just kind of let you know, what Jenks does. You know, number one, the first thing we talk about is the coaching staff, in both for position coaches and for our kids, is we want to be experts at our position. You know, so every technique that our guys need to know, we want them to become experts at it. And they can't become experts unless our coaches are. So any technique we're going to use, we want to become experts at it, and we want to own that. The next thing we talk about at Jenks is, you know, balance in our offense. You know, and for us, balance means it's going to be about 60% run and 40% pass. Everything we do at Jenks is going to be based on running the football. We're a physical team. We want to be a downhill team. We want to be multiple enough to where we can do a lot of different things. But at the end of the day, we're going to make our hay running the football. And it was a pretty good season for us last year. We averaged about, you know, 56 points a game. You know, we rushed for over 3,000-some yards on the ground and right at about 2,800 yards passing. So we're pretty balanced as far as yardage goes, but our run-pass ratio is actually 62% run and 38% pass. So we're about right on. We're multiple formations, multiple personnel groups, and we play a lot of what we call sequential football. So the offense and the football we like to play, it's generally more geared towards an NFL style. I mean, we want to be as balanced and multiple as we can. We had more of a pro-style quarterback this year. So, you know, we're not doing a ton of the gun run stuff and the QB run game, so we're a little bit more traditional as far as that goes. When we start talking about sequential football, basically we want multiple plays off of the same formation, the same personnel group, that build off of one base run play, or it could be a base pass play. We call these plays rocks. And it's basically, you know, it all comes back to, you know, we run the power, or we run the offensive or the outside zone, or, you know, we're throwing the three-step game. Those would be our rocks, and we want to have multiple plays that build off that, because once a team takes away your rock, now what are you going to do? You know, the team's got to have a counter. So when we talk about our run game, you know, we're going to have strong and weak side runs in every one of our formations. We're going to run the ball both ways. I see so many offenses out there, you know, when they have a tight end in the game, they're running strong 95% of the time. You know, and if you're a good defensive coordinator, I think you're probably going to pick up on that, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're going to have our base run. We're going to have a counter off. We want to build a run both directions. Same thing in the pass game. You know, we're going to throw the ball quick. We're going to throw the five step. We'll have play actions. We're going to move. We're going to make it. And we're going to throw screens off every one of our looks. So when Coach Maddox and I sit down and we're talking all of our looks, you know, the first thing we talk about is we want to be sequenced, man. Number one, we're always going to have our base run play, our rock. So, for instance, if, you know, if we're in our two back stuff, our rock's going to be, you know, two back power. Number two would be our counter off of that. You know, so if we're running strong, we want to have a counter that's going to come back and run weak. It's going to look similar to our strong side run, but we're going to have a counter that comes back to the weak side. We're forcing the defense, you know, to cover the entire field. Third thing we'll have off that is the play action pass. And the play action pass has to look exactly like the run play. And then the last thing we talk about is just any kind of drop back pass play. It could be a screen, a movement pass, whatever it may be. But that sequence is going to be the same for every one of those. So now it gives us a built-in kind of check system you know, when teams are taking away our base play, we have other options to go off of it. You know, so maybe now we're running the outside zone. They start taking away outside zone. We can go to our counter, or we can go to our play action, or we can go to our pass play, you know, to stay sequential. And all of a sudden, maybe they start taking away the counter play. We can come back to that base play based on the look that they're giving us. And we want to have that sequence in place for every one of our formations. So every formation in our package, which is a ton, we want to make sure we have at least, you know, a sequence of about 3 to 4 plays that we can go to off every one of them.
Now, your offensive philosophy sounds a lot like mine. Multiple formations featuring the same play, motion here and there. I hadn't heard you talk about motion yet, but I imagine that is also a big part of your package.
That's huge. You know, so we talk about formations, and then we talk about looks. You know, that same thing applies for when we motion. So if we're running, you know, for instance, we have our strong side tight end wing, and we'll bring our, you know, our tight end wing across, and we'll run weak outside zone. We want to have a play-action pass off of that as well. So, I mean, they're the same thing. So maybe we're running weak, we move the guy over this way, now we want to be able to run back strong, or we'll be able to throw a play-action pass coming back strong. So we want to have a counter off for every single look that we have. So you're exactly right. If we do motion, we don't want to just have one play off of motion. You see so many guys that, you know, they motion to one side, they're going to run behind the motion. Well, again, defenses pick up on that. You got to have a counter, you got to have another play off that in order to be complementary and sequential in your offense.
All right, we're talking with Coach Brady Walls. We're going to be getting into some personnel packages and different things here in our next segment. Hey, I'm having a lot of fun here. I don't know about you.
I'm loving it, man. This is good stuff.
You're listening to Coach's Corner on the CompuSports Radio Network. More with Coach Walls right after this.
Last week, I know we talked about the double option clinic. Well, on April the 30th, the 5th annual Grossmont College Offensive Lineman Camp in the San Diego area is going to take place. It's going to be a clinic for local high school and youth league offensive linemen grades 9 through 12. All participants must complete the registration liability and medical consent form provided at www.grossmont.edu. Coaches can be on the field. They can videotape the drills. You guys have great access to this. If you're interested, call Ken Wilmisher. He is going to be the camp host this year. Also a former guest on this program. You can contact him at 619-370-0765. That's 619-370-0765.
This segment of Coach's Corner is sponsored by CompuSports, distributor of the Playmaker Pro and Coach's Office Playbook software packages, available at CompuSports.com.
We're talking with Coach Brady Walls from Jenks High School in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He is the tight ends coach out there, but right now he's up in Colorado working with a bunch of kids up there. And he was nice enough to take time out of his schedule to come and talk to us here on Coach's Corner. And we're going to be talking about multiple tight end packages and formations. Coach, what do you want to cover here in this segment?
Well, I just kind of wanted to give you guys, you know, a basic overview of our different multiple tight end personnel groups. I'll kind of start off with more of our heavier sets. And kind of work a little bit towards, you know, more of a spread orientation. I'm not going to talk a lot about 11 personnel with just one tight end. And I figure there's a lot of people that are overkilling the spread offense and know what's going on. So I'm just going to talk a little bit more about some more, you know, traditional pro sets and two back sets and some two tight end sets and let you know how we kind of package things up. And if Coach Anderson has any questions there on some of these things, we'll dive into as much as he wants to.
All right.
I guess the first one we'll talk about is what we call our 22 personnel, or it could be our 13 personnel. Now, I hope most of you guys understand how we number it, but basically that talks about the number of tight ends and the number of backs. So the first number is our number of backs. second number is our number of tight ends. So 22 would be two tights, two running backs. And then our 13 personnel would basically be one running back and three tight ends. So that we pretty much consider these the same things. So we can use one of our tight ends as more of a fullback type personnel anyway. But our most basic formation we run out of this is what we call our right and left swing. Now for us, that's just I formation. And then we have a tight end wing on the strong side. So if it was right swing on the right side, we're going to have a regular tight end in line. Then we're going to have a wing tight end in a one-by-one alignment. And the backs are going to be in the I formation. It gives us a lot of flexibility. You know, we can move that wing in motion. We can split them out if we want to. And we can also move the fullback. So, you know, based on our personnel, there's some possessions where, you know, we'll take more of our athletic tight end that can run, put them at fullback, and we can move them around. So that gives us a lot of versatility. But kind of going back to our sequence, how we package things up. We talked about a strong run, a weak run, a play action, and a pass play. So I'm going to give you guys kind of those four things when we sit down and we start talking about our right and left swing package. You know, strong run for us, anytime we're in two back stuff, you know, our base run's going to be power. So strong side power, you know, the tight end's blocking down, our wing's kicking out, fullback's going to kick out end man last scrimmage, and then we're up inside with the guard, you know, your basic power play. We run a lot of strong side zone. We'll run some outside zone out of this as well. We also run some pin toss out of that as well. I don't know if you guys understand what pin toss is, but we're down blocking on the edge. We're pulling tackles. We're pulling guards. We're getting the fullback out in front. But our base strong run play is going to be power.
That's your basic pin and pull, basically.
Yeah, pin and pull outside zone. Yeah, pin toss is what we call it. For us, it's tex, you know, tackle and theta and X. But coming back to the weak side, we run a ton of weak side power. I don't know how many of you guys run the weak side power, but it's an unbelievable play and probably one of the better plays in our offense. So, you know, most people are going to load up that strong side. They see a fullback, they see a wing, they see a tight end over there. There's three guys. They're feeling out gap to that strong side. We make a living running back weak side with the power. So, you know, we're down with the weak side tackle, down with the guard, back with the center. Fullback now becomes our kick man, and we're leading the play side guard up. We also run what we call a double swap play. We actually picked this play up from Stanford. We ran it in the state championship against Union. I think we ran it four times. I think we scored on it three times. So it ended up being a pretty good play that we picked up. But double swap basically means we're running weak side power, and now we're bringing an extra puller. So that backside wing in our tight end wing formation, now he's becoming an extra swap guy is what we call it. He's just an extra puller. So we're picking up an extra gap player on the backside. A lot of times he'd be pulling for nobody. So an unbelievable advantage for us back to the weak side against teams that want to overship and overload our strong side. So those two plays right there have just been tremendous in our offense. Of course, the play action we want to run off of that. You know, if we are running weak, we'll run some naked stuff back to the wing side. And if we are running, you know, strong a lot, or we're killing people out with the power strong side, we'll run some power pass, you know, basically putting the tight end out on the corner out, getting the fullback out in the flat, and then bringing your backside X across on the overdrag. Kind of just your basic corner flat combination with an overdrag. Bet you guys ran a little bit of that back in the day, didn't you, John?
No, yes, we did.
Great red zone play. And the last one, you know, it's probably one of the weaknesses for us in our 22 and our 13 package. In my mind, was, you know, getting better in the drop back game. But I think we had so much success running the football out of these things that maybe we didn't. We didn't have straight-up drop-back passes out of it. It's more play-action stuff. But when we did, we'd run a little bit of stick with the two tight ends. So we're getting the wing in the flat. We're getting the tight end on the stick route. And then we're tagging our X, you know, to the backside, the split end of the field. You know, tagging him on any different number of option routes. You know, we can max protect it, put him on some double moves. The team's wanting to play zero, man him up if we liked our matchups. But that's kind of one of the things that Coach Maddox and I will be researching this offseason is some better drop-back passes out of the out of our heavier sets, and hopefully, John, maybe you can send me some stuff that you got on that. That'd be great.
Oh, I'll have to see what I can pull up for you.
All right, man. Coaches helping coaches, right? That's what it's all about.
That's what it is. Let me ask you a question here. You were talking about stick and with your dropbacks here. I'm sure you remember the article that I wrote years and years ago having to do with stick and double stick. Just to get everybody up to speed who may not be familiar with the stick route and this concept, it's a West Coast offense term where you have your tight end and your wing over there on one side, and your wing is basically running a shoot route, which we used to call it, which is really a very short, flat route. And he's trying to get width and depth right now. We want to get him wide. And then your tight end, we want to get him down about 4 or 5 yards. We want to get him to break on that inside foot and look at the ball or look for the ball as he's making his outside break. So that's basically the stick concept we're talking about here.
Absolutely.
And one of the comments that I made was the drop of the quarterback. There are some coaches who believe in the three big steps in getting the quarterback back there. And then you got guys who've got really quick feet who can make the make that drop in 5 really quick steps. What are you guys doing at Jenks with that?
Generally, when we're running stick, for us, that's going to be a 3-step pass. We're throwing 3-step. But the cool stuff is, you know, with Coach Maddox, he's been pretty creative and pretty inventive with some of the stuff we'll do backside. So even we're throwing a 3-step pass to the front side. So for us, we call it 88, or we'll call it 98 if it's on the left side. That's kind of our 3-step game and our stick concept for us. Backside, we'll run a lot of, you know, what we'll call, you know, a 5-step game. So if you pre-snap, if he's going through it, and he runs the whole system, run through QBA, called this R4 system, is tremendous.
Right, it's Darren Slack's outfit.
Absolutely, and I work for those guys as well, too, and they do a tremendous job being able to marry up packages like that. You know, if you don't like something quick side, we're able to come back to the backside, you know, and do what we call some sort of a read combination. So we can actually turn our 3-step game into, you know, a 5-step game. It could be a 5 and hitch. I mean, any of these different things can all be built into one pass game. So it gives us a full field read on basically any pass play that we have. So it's tremendous, you know, for our QBs, one, and then for two, you know, making the defense, you know, defend the entire field. Okay, and so, I mean, that's basically our two-back run game. You know, we'll run our, you know, our regular two-back stuff, but when we got two tight ends in the game, that's generally the look we'll do. If we want to get to a, you know, a normal two tight end look, we'll just motion the wing over. So we'll basically get to your, you know, your regular tight look, or LI or RI, or whatever people want to call it. So we'll do it that way. Moving on to say some 13 personnel stuff. The main formation that we call it race and lace wing for us. It's a 2x2 formation. There's going to be 2 inline tight ends, so just like your regular ace formation or solo formation in the West Coast offense. And then whichever side we designate strength, that's where we're going to be the tight end wing. So we have 3 tight ends in the game, 2 inline guys, and then the strong side's going to have a wing. Love this formation. We're probably one of my favorite formations out there because there's so many things you can do out of it. You create 9 gaps for the defense to have to worry about. A lot of times, you know, to your wing side, a force play over there is going to be a corner. He's 5'8", 155 pounds, he wants to cover people. You know, in high school, you don't see a lot of teams that are going to sub out guys like that. So we get great matchups on the edge. So our strong run, we're going to run out of this, and it's our bread and butter play in our offense. Our strong run's outside zone, running it through the two tight end side. Weak run, again, is just going to be our outside zone to the weak side. You know, we still have a tight end of this look. We got numbers to this side if we like our weak side. So basically, we're looking at force players. For us, force players are the number of secondary people. If they want to play, you know, 2 people over the top of our tight end wing, we can move our wing over. We can get a 3x1 advantage to the other side. But outside zone gives us that leverage, that ability. We still run some 1-back power, you know, which we'll base the tight end. You know, not as much as we do. It's more of a gun run for us, running the 1-back power. We can also run double swap out of this to the weak side. We're bringing the backside tight end wing and the backside guard, leave them up, and then our kickout block, in essence, becomes the weak side tight end based up on whatever outside linebacker or defensive end's out there. Play actions, we run a ton of nakeds off this. We run some straight-up play actions, you know, some 4-bird stuff, some maneuvering things, but there's a lot of different nakeds that we run off of our outside zone, and that's kind of the fun that Dub and I get to have. It's like we get to come up with gosh knows how many different naked combinations we run. You know, we can run naked smash. We'll get, you know, a flat route and a corner route on the backside. We run naked floods to where we're running, you know, outside guy on a vertical. Number 2 would be on an 8-step out, so it ends up being about a 12 to 15 yard out. So we're underneath the corner, and then we got somebody in the flat as well, so we're flooding the strong side and still bringing an overdrag. But it's been lethal combinations for us. And then any of your 2x2 passes, heck, you name it. You know, a lot of people are running the, you know, the mirrored routes. We run a ton of, you know, full field read stuff. We can run everything in our offense out of these 2x2 formations. So, I mean, it gives us a spread look. It gives us a power run look. It's the best of both worlds.
Hey, that's great. We're talking with Coach Brady Walls from Jenks High School in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We'll be talking more multiple tight end formations and personnel packages right after this break. You're listening to Coach's Corner on the CompuSports Radio Network.
For over a quarter century, CompuSports has provided high-quality, easy-to-use coaching software to high school and college football coaches at prices that do an end-around on limited athletic budgets. Our EasyScout line of football scouting and video editing software improves the process of collecting, organizing, and analyzing information about the plays in a game, helping coaches save time while gaining a competitive edge. EasyScout products have always been easy to learn, easy to use, and built to adapt to a football coach's own terminology. The current version of the EasyScout Professional Scouting and Video Editing System delivers the kind of analysis and reporting capabilities that can cost up to five times as much. CompuSports EasyScout software, because game day is only part of your job.
This segment of Coach's Corner is sponsored by CompuSports, distributor of the Playmaker Pro and Coach's Office Playbook software packages, available at CompuSports.com.
Don't come my way.
Talking with Coach Brady Walls, the tight end coach at Jenks High School, Tulsa, Oklahoma, but he's up there in Evergreen, Colorado at about 6,000 feet in elevation up there. And is there any snow up there in the mountains?
There is, but I mean, most of it's getting melted today. It's pretty warm.
I'm going to go ahead and let him continue and finish up on his talk with us on multiple tight end formations and personnel packages. So, Coach, I'm going to turn you loose once more.
All right, man. We'll just move on to our last one here. And the last one is just kind of our 12 personnel. You know, one running back, two tight ends. I'm sure a lot of people out there use it. You know, kind of the first group that I saw that was using it exclusively. And, you know, of course, John, you can interrupt me here. It was happening a lot before that, and I'm sure it was. But the first part I could really remember was kind of the late 80s, early 90s. The University of Colorado went to this offense and this personnel group almost exclusively with Rashawn Salaam and some of the backs they had then, and, you know, running the two tight ends with Christian Fourier.
Cordell Stewart at quarterback.
Yeah, and I want to say Matt Lepsis at tight end. It was kind of the first time I ever noticed it, you know, and of course I was just a young buck back then. But
well, see, you remember all the tight ends. You remember all the tight ends. I remember the quarterbacks.
I don't know what it is. There's something about me, I guess, that has always kind of been drawn to the tight end position because they can do so many things, man. I'm a big fan of versatility.
Yeah, and you brought this up, and I remember that the Houston Oilers back in the late 70s with Earl Campbell liked to go run up with Mike Barber. And I'm trying to remember who the other tight end was with them, and the name escapes me. But Mike Barber was one of them. And they would go two wide, double tight ends, both on the ends, and they would just pound Earl Campbell up in there. So then John Riggins came out with the Hogs, and you had Clint Didier, and you had Donnie Warren, who was actually an offensive guard disguised as a tight end, and he was just blowing people off of the ball. So that's ancient history. We'll let you continue on from there.
I'd say it's good because, I mean, I want to kind of be one of these guys that kind of learns the history of the game and some of the first people. I remember you were telling me, you know, through emails back when the Jets were running some three tight end stuff.
Joe Walton's, you know, right, Joe Walton's scheme.
So, I mean, I hadn't heard any of that stuff, so that's kind of what I've gone back and studied. You know, obviously things have been done before this. It's kind of just when in your own life you kind of get that enlightenment and that aha moment. It's like, wow, you know, this is some good stuff, and this happened to be what I'd be able to watch every weekend on ABC or ESPN. I'd see Colorado running inside and outside zone and moving the ball over people. Of course, Rashawn Salaam, you know, ends up winning the Heisman Trophy and rushing for over $2,000, so that made a lasting impression on me. But going back to that, the two tight ends with two flankers, I'm guessing there's a ton of people out there that are running some version of this or some form of it. For us, strong and weak run, just outside zone. I mean, we're counting numbers. Wherever you're not, we're going to run the outside zone or that side, so it just comes kind of a check with me. And I know during the break we talked a little bit about John Gruden. He had his whole solo formation or ace formation, whatever you want to call it. It was all basically a check with me situation. If you see a fourth player down playing cover three or strong safety's low on one side, let's run the other way. They're going to have less numbers on that side. So kind of a similar concept for us. There's a lot of times where we're running our four-minute offense, and this is one of our bread and butters. We'll go to ace, two-by-two, and see if the defense wants to play us balanced or if they're going to unbalance one side or the other. We can run outside zone and try to run out the clock. Play actions off of it. Obviously, just running your basic naked. So if we're faking to the left, our right side receiver is running what we call a K route, which is almost kind of like a burst corner. He's running towards the hash and then breaking it off high at about 15 to 20 yards. Backside tight end then is just going to be the slam flat player. We're slamming down outside zone for three steps, pressing the guy inside, working to the flat. Kind of like your arrow or your shoot route. And then front side, we're running the overdrag and backside post over the top. One of the simplest plays in football, but I tell you what, pretty efficient play.
It all depends on the discipline of that backside containment.
Absolutely. I mean, and then if we teach our tight end too, you kind of go along with that. And one of the things I picked up from Sean Watson, who was actually at Colorado, and then he had come to Nebraska, which was one of my alma maters. They used to teach, if you don't have a C gap player, running zone to the left, if I don't have anyone in my left C gap, there's no sense for me to step down in there. So basically, we teach our tight end what we call a rake technique. We'll base out on the defensive end, or we'll base out on the linebacker. We'll try to get him to cross our face some way or another. So we'll base out on him, and then we get him to release. So a lot of times you can take care of that containing, kind of get that edge, based on alignment with the tight end, based on his assignment as well. Any other pass plays we run out of 2x2 with ace? I mean, we've had some great success running four verticals out of that. So many teams want to play low, cover zero, and want to play low, maybe a cover three concept. We see some teams play, cover three. We'll run some heavy play action, and we're going to run, just straight up four verticals. We have some eight-man protections we actually run out of this too, since we run so much outside zone. We'll do a lot of double move stuff with our flankers. We'll cross them. We'll put them on crack posts since we're cracking safeties a lot, bringing guys back underneath. I know the Indianapolis Colts made a living doing a lot of that stuff with play actions. Peyton Manning sticking in the belly of Edgerrin James and some of those running backs they've had. And he pulls up now and he's hitting Reggie Wayne or Marvin Harrison on the crack post right down the pipe. So
I knew New Orleans was running a lot of that also.
Absolutely. They run a lot of that with Colston and Lance Moore and some of those guys. And then, of course, couple of nice tight ends is David Thomas and former tight end now is Jeremy Shockey. I don't know where he's gonna end up, but I sure'd like to have that guy. Maybe not his off the field stuff, but on the field I like him, man. He can do a lot of different things. Continuing on with the 12 personnel stuff, moving from an ace package, obviously we can move receivers over to their side so we can get a 3x1 look, and we're running the same things, outside zone, different naked variations, different pass plays now just from a 3x1 set. So, nothing really changes. That package for us is pretty much standard week in and week out because it's so good for us. Our kids feel really, really comfortable running those different packages. This next package I want to talk about, it's our 2x2 formation. It's a race and lace wing, but now we're running out of 12 personnel. So rather than having three tight ends in the game, it's just two. We're going to get two spread receivers to the field. So if we're on the right hash, to our left side of the field, we're going to have two spread receivers, a slot formation, and then to the boundary, we're going to have a tight end wing. This formation for us was probably our number one formation. It gives us a great look. Again, we got a spread look to the field, and we've got a power run set to the boundary. If they want to play one fourth player to the boundary, we'll run outside zone until the cows come home. Here, we're going to have a tight end up on a corner all night. We got numbers in the run game. If they want to play 2x2, now we can move that guy. We can run to the weak side. We run some counter G where the guard's going to be pulling and kicking out, and then we're going to swap with the backside wing. We can run our inside zone seal. So it looks like we're running outside zone. We'll run actually inside zone. We'll bring that backside wing, or let's just say the front side wing, to the backside, and you seal it off the backside end. So it kind of becomes split zone, you know, however many people want to call it. But that's one of our bread and butter plays. You know, just counting force people and seeing where we're going to go. Play actions, ton of nakeds we throw off. But, I mean, it's insane the number of different nakeds we run off with just that play and that look, however you want to do it, both weak and strong. You know, so it gives us a ton of flexibility. I mean, basically, John, it's just like the old school, you know, weak and strong slot formation, really. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now we're in the shotgun a little bit more. We can move people around, and it looks more of a spread set for us. Pass plays, again, we're 2x2. We can run stick with our wing. We can run, you know, backside, what we call a seam read, and a 5-yard in. That's kind of like our double slants. You can run smash combinations. I mean, the opportunities are limitless for us. So we ran our entire pass play. I'm just sitting here looking at our play sheet from the Union Championship game, and out of our race wing package, we had 4 different runs that we ran out of this formation. And we had 9 different passes we ran out of it, including play actions.
Mm.
So 13 plays were able to run out of one formation. So, you know, you hear a lot of people saying, well, what are your tendencies in a formation? We really don't have any, because we can run so many different things out of it. Running outside zone, running G, running power. We can run shotgun, you know, shotgun one back power. There's all kinds of things we can run out of this formation. So it's a huge, huge, huge formation for us. Last one I'll talk about here, and then open it up to any more questions or comments that John has. But we run a 3x1 bunch formation. For us, it's just poke right and poke left. You know, it's the cow pokes. You got the pokes down there at Oklahoma State, so we call it poke. But the tight ends become our inside 2 receivers of the bunch, just your traditional bunch formation. I know you were talking to Coverdale a couple weeks ago. He's kind of one of the inventors of the bunch stuff, wasn't he?
He was a forerunner of it at the high school level, but I think maybe Gibbs or one of these other guys has probably had come up with it, but they definitely took it to an entirely new level.
So I know Coach Maddox and I mean, this is one of the first things we'd studied, you know, was some of the bunch stuff, and this bunch package for us is just tremendous. Not only with our strong side runs, our main strong side run was just our inside zone seal off of it. You know, so we're base blocking inside zone, and then the inside receiver of the bunch becomes our split player, and he's going to seal. So it comes to the split zone. Great play action off of that. I mean, if you're running all that split zone, and all of a sudden you just flip that guy in the flat backside, and you got overdragging post for the front side, it just becomes like a 2x2 look. So, I mean, a great play action pass force off of it. Weak side run, we ran a lot of weak side outside zone where we'd motion that fullback or that inside guy in the bunch and we'd run back to the weak side. You know, so many teams, and I don't know, John, if you were coaching, but when you ran bunch, it seemed like you always got pretty much one generic or one basic look to it. Was that true for you?
Generally, you had teams that were really kind of confused and really weren't lining up right when we were the one year that we did run it was my last year coaching. It would end up being like a Chinese fire drill, and usually the shoot route was open, and you didn't have to go through much of your progression after that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, throwing, you kind of get that. But, you know, most teams, especially, you know, even our defensive jinx, you know, they'd see it, and then all of a sudden it'd be poke check. You know, or a lot of teams would have their bunch check. So you know where they're going to be.
You end up seeing like a cover 3 or – they'll bring that strong safety down, and they'll try to reroute the first guy coming out of there. But in the running game, we would take that inside tight end and would bring him across and trap the nose or maybe trap the backside defensive tackle, and we use that sort of thing.
Yes, it's a wham it or kind of like a reverse trap. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dabble with some of that stuff, too. I mean, I love all of it. So that's the nice thing about this package is, you know, most teams are going to have kind of a set defense to stop this. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be, you're going to know exactly where they're at. You usually don't see a ton of blitz from it. I mean, I know we didn't. You'd see a little bit of strong side blitz from that bunch side, but not a lot. So for us, we kind of get a general idea of what we're going to do. So teams that wanted to overload our bunch side, we'd be able to motion and run a lot of weak side outside zone. You know, 18 to 19 week for us, and it was one of our better plays. I think I was looking online on DSV the other day, and we averaged like 19 yards a carry out of the poke run weak side zone.
Wow.
So it helps too when you got a guy that's going to OU and runs about 10-6 in the 100. But hey, you know, that's part of the reason why we're running outside zone, right?
That's true.
But off of that, you know, our play action off of our strong side and our weak side runs, you know, and of course, any of your naked stuff, we ran a lot of crack posts where basically become, you know, our outside Z or our outside X. If we're faking, you know, weak side, we're faking strong side, we're going to crack with the X and take it deep. You know, we run so much outside zone, the safeties start creeping up. You know, we act like we're going to crack the safety or whatever, and then, boom, we're just taking it vertically. I think we hit, you know, four or five big plays off of that. It was kind of one of our major shot plays, you know, off of that hard run cell and hard action, protecting with eight guys. So I got a lot of mileage out of that. We'd also do stuff with the Z, you know, getting another fast guy in there. And you know, we'd run, you know, the inside zone seal. You'd run the outside zone, and we're taking that Z, the short guy in the poke, and we're running a reverse fake off of it. You know, a lot of teams in the West Coast system call it ghost motion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, you know, bringing him back over the top, we'd fake that, fake the inside zone, fake the reverse, and then we're running the crack post and taking shots over the top with that. It would allow us to get a third guy. There's a couple times, you know, we wouldn't get the crack post. They take that away. They take away the backside overdrag. We'd actually hit the reverse guy out in the flat, since no one would run with him, you know, for big plays. So that whole package right there was huge, just kind of off of our inside zone seal. Different pass plays ran in the poke. You know, you had your standard mesh. You know, we call it, you know, it's a scat play. You talk about getting the inside guy out to the flats and then picking the inside, you know, picking the inside linebacker, outside linebacker with the Z, and bringing the number two guy on the corner. So you got that kind of that triangle to work the corner to the flat to the pivot route. We run a ton of that. Run some other smash stuff. You know, we're getting the outside guy in the corner out, inside guy in the flat, and then running number two on a vertical down the middle. And you still got all your rhythm throws to the X on the backside. So I mean, our poke stuff and our bunch stuff was huge. You know, you can treat it again like a two-back run formation if you want to, or you can treat it, you know, like some of your compressed spread sets and then throw out of as well. So, you know, either one of these last two formations for us were huge, the race and lace wing and then the poke right and left, because, you know, once again, I think if you're creating that conflict in the defense's mind, it's only going to be that much better, whether you're running the ball or whether you're throwing the ball.
We have seriously run out of time here in this particular segment, but we'll be right back with more. Coach Brady Walsh from Jenks High School in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You're listening to Coach's Corner on the CompuSports Radio Network.
Interested in becoming a sponsor on Coach's Corner on the CompuSports Radio Network, and you'd like to place your commercial right here on this program, just email me, John, J-O-H-N, at CompuSportsRadio.com. That's John, J-O-H-N, at CompuSportsRadio.com. In the meantime, let's go ahead and enjoy a little bit of Clarissa for about 30 seconds or so.
Segment of Coach's Corner is sponsored by CompuSports, publisher of the EasyCut video editing software program. EasyCut works for any sport and starts at just $195. EasyCut, the affordable video editing software, available at CompuSports.com.
Talking with Coach Brady Walls from Jenks High School in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Let's go ahead and go through some final questions here. I came up with one or two off the top of my head. Number one, what route combination seems to work best for you folks down there?
I'd say our number one pass play would have to be gosh, there's two of them, but I'll say our number one would be our what we call our scat or our Steeler concept. To the strong side, whatever our play side call is going to be, we're running the pivot route on the outside, and then number two's running the corner route. And then usually we'll have a back or have somebody getting out of the backfield, so that kind of becomes our scat play. So you have a three-man combination to that side. Backside will run number two. Usually that's our tight end. We'll run him on a 10-yard basic cross or a 10-yard dig. And then number one backside is running the 5-yard in. And that play, I'd say the reason that play has been so good for us is because we run against every coverage. We have so many different tags we can run off of it. We can run out every formation, and we can run it out of 3-by-1, so it becomes a 4-man scat for us. You know, rather than just a 3-man scat, we can run 2-man scat back to the backside with just an X receiver, you know, or running back into the flat. There's just so many different ways we can run it. It's so versatile. We even run it as a play-action pass off of a lot of our play-action, so I would say that'd be our number one combination.
We had talked earlier about the out of the bunch. We were talking about the ghost fake and running everybody off out of there. You're bringing one of your backs around to fake in conjunction with the play action with your inside zone. And the first thing that hit me was the contain guy is usually looking for bootleg, counter, reverse responsibility. Okay, he's checked that. The ghost guy doesn't have the ball. Now he has to rush the quarterback, and the next thing you know, the ball is flying over his head. Are they not picking this guy up in some kind of coverage, or that they're just running with the other receivers down the field?
When you're talking about the backside DN?
Yes.
Well, usually the nice thing about it when we do run that play is we run, you know, we're running split zones. We actually have a fullback blocking him if he does come free off the edge. So, you know, we're faking zone to the right. We're bringing a guy backside to help protect with that. And obviously he has to honor the ghost fake as well, so it gives us a little bit more time. But, yeah, generally that guy will just rush the passer. and no one will run with our ghost guy for the most part.
I know down in the Atlanta clinic, Dub Maddox was speaking down there for Glazer Clinics this year, and I wanted to go down there and meet him. But unfortunately, I got held up in an ice storm trying to get out of the mountains down here, trying to get down to Atlanta, and did not catch him. I'm sorry to say, but he's definitely welcome on the program, as well as any of your other coaches down there at Jenks, if y'all want to come on.
That'd be excellent. I mean, that's another thing about, you know, the success of Jenks that I guess I've, you know, failed to mention right now is the staff that we have is extremely well-respected, and Coach Trimble expects us to know our stuff inside and out. We talked about being an expert at our position. You know, pretty much every coach that we employ is doing some sort of a speaking engagement. For instance, our special teams coach, our head special teams guy, you know, one of the guys I work hand in hand with, he's coming down here to Denver to speak at a Nike clinic. So he's well respected. You know, our D coordinators has spoken at the Tulsa Glazer Clinic. You know, Coach Trimble's been on the Glazer Clinic tour, and you know, Coach Maddox, he speaks everywhere. He's like a rock star. So I mean, when you got a staff of a lot of experts, you know, a lot of well respected opinions, you know, it's easy for our kids to buy in because, you know, they're seeing other coaches buy into a lot of the stuff we're doing as well.
If anybody's got a question for you, how can they contact you here?
Well, the easiest be the email. Just be brady.walls@gmail. Pretty easy one to remember. And then if you get a hold of me there, heck, I'll give you my cell number. You can get a hold of me whenever you want. But, you know, the easiest way would be brady.walls@gmail. You can also check us out at tmbrecruits.com.
All right, so it'd be Brady, B-R-A-D-Y, dot W-A-L-Z, at gmail.com. Coach, it was great to have you on here and catch up with you after all these years and finally get a chance to talk to you. I feel a little bit honored here.
The honor's all mine, man. I've been reading your articles online when you used to be westcoastoffense.com, and I was sitting in the library there at Black Hill State when I probably should have been studying for my calculus test, but instead I was studying a little bit more numbers on the football field than I needed to be.
Well, if you're anything like me, algebra or calculus was the last thing you wanted to do.
Exactly.
What?
Basically, girls and football at the library, man.
Oh, I know. I remember those days, yes. Coach, thank you once again for coming on to the show, and for the rest of you, we'll have some final thoughts right after this.
a great interview that was with the Coach Brady Walls out of Jenks High School down there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And a big thank you to Coach Walls for spending all that time with us and just absolutely bringing more information than we could possibly digest here today. And also a big thank you to Dub Maddox for allowing Coach Walls outside of the laboratory long enough to come and talk to us. On our next Coach's Corner, we're going to be talking defense. We're going to be talking with Coach John Hendrick at Tulane University. We're going to be talking all sorts of stuff. Coach's Corner is an Abundant Harvest production here on the CompuSports Radio Network. I'm John Anderson. Until next time.